If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KDOI.
Top of the morning, KBOI News Time, 8:39. Paul J. and Chris, a couple of guests in the Next Title studios this morning. Cartoonist Todd Clark, who writes and draws the comic strip Lola, is with us this morning. And Steve Moore, who writes and draws the comic strip In the Bleachers, also here with us this morning. Going to talk a little bit about the Wyakin Foundation.
Yeah. Morning.
Good morning. You guys are invading Boise. Well, you guys kind of invade Boise all the time. But, I mean, you and friends are going to be invading Boise again for the Wyakins.
Yeah, they're doing the annual thing, and they're doing a little different this year. Uh-huh. We've always gone to the Guardian Ball, the big gala, and drawn there. But this year there's also an event that people can go separately just to be with the cartoonists at Big Al's.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Put it in a sports bar. We can, you know, get people to show up to that.
Yeah. Get us to show up for that.
And, of course, first of all, tell us a little bit about the Wyakin Foundation for people who don't know.
Wyakin is an organization that was started by Jeff Bacon, mm-hmm. One of the people who started it. And it is a program for mentoring wounded veterans when they come back, and mentoring them and shepherding them through college, okay. Whatever kind of degree they want to get. So it's from beginning to end, start to finish.
It's a lot of these guys and gals that were going to be planning on being career military, and they get wounded, and that's plans out the window right away. So Wyakin helps them figure out what they want to do, and it's not just writing a check and saying good luck. It's mentoring. It's getting them to school. It's very comprehensive program, getting all the way through.
I have a friend who has sheltered a couple of different Wyakin warriors, and the things that come up and the problems that come up are things you don't think will happen, and it's a pretty intensive thing to do, but boy, is it rewarding.
Yeah. I mean, even things like, there's been a couple of the warriors, things you wouldn't even think about with vision impairment was what happened to them. So then they've got to start all over from scratch with Braille, with how to go to school, all that stuff. So Wyakin covers all that for them.
Now, the event at Big Al's is coming up on October 6th.
Yeah.
And it's going to be from 5:30 p.m. until 8:30. Tell us what's going to happen and some of the people that will be there.
Well, I don't have the full list in front of me. Of course, Todd and I will be there. We'll be drawing for people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And but there are other people that are coming. Stefan Pastis, Pearls Before Swine.
Mm. Well, Stefan's got a print that he's going to auction off.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, he's not coming?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man.
If you want me to run it down real quick, Bruce Hignan, who's a retired Army, he's a caricaturist. He'll be here.
Okay.
T. Lewis, that does Over the Hedge, mm-hmm. You know, the strip and the movie, will be here. Dave Mowder, was also Army. He's he does greeting cards, but he does caricatures. He's also one of a handful of people that's actually licensed to do Looney Tunes characters, Disney characters. So if you want the real deal, Dave can do that. Mason Mastroianni, who is Johnny Hart's grandson and now does BC, and draws Wizard of Id too, as well. Okay. Yeah. So you can get all these characters.
One of you wrote. You wrote for Wizard of Id and BC.
I write some gags for them. Yeah.
You do. Oh, okay.
Casey Fagerquist. We haven't met her yet. She's a Hollywood person. She works on the Smurfs movies and the Hotel Transylvania movies. So if you got kids or grandkids that are Smurfs fans, mm-hmm. you know, you can get that drawn. Glenn McCoy does everything. You'll see his political cartoons in the comic. He does the Duplex comic strip, Flying McCoys. He works for Illumination Studios, so he has worked on every Despicable Me and Minions movies. So mm-hmm. if you want a Minion drawn by one of the guys that's, you know, names in the credits, Glenn's here. Jeff Myers, he's a local guy. He's a television guy. He's worked on Rick and Morty, Simpsons, King of the Hill, Family Guy.
You had my son and daughter at Rick and Morty.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
That thing's
yeah,
just
same
insane.
Here. My kids, too.
Steve Moore. I don't know.
Who's he? What does he do? Where's he from?
And myself. And I'll, you know, see, I'll draw you a personalized Lola. And I think I'm the only Mad Magazine guy here, too. So
terrific.
I'll do a Alfred E. Newman, too, if you want.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about results. How have the results been? You've had several years in now. How have the results been?
The results of the Wyakin Benefit?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They've had, I think, sellouts every year pretty much. And this year, usually it's at the ball is at the Grove, but this year it's going to be at Jump. So it's going to be something different. It's going to be on two floors, and I'm anxious to see, you know, how that works because that's a great venue.
Yeah. You get to ride a tractor, too, I think.
That's
buy a ticket.
Yeah,
you can drive around downtown in one of them.
So, why not? That sounds
and cool. The thing at Big Al's, if you pay an extra $2, I think it is, Steve Moore will bowl one game with you.
Yeah, right.
So there's no,
I pay people to play with me because otherwise somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah, so that'll be a fun thing. And the thing at the Big Al's, it's limited tickets because they want everybody to be able to get a drawing from each person and have time with whoever they want to get stuff. And, I mean, if you went and bought originals from all these people, it would be well over $1,000 to get artwork from all those people.
Yours for $50.
Yep.
It should be a fun night.
The Wyakin Foundation itself, because, I mean, the success rate is just, it's near 100% with what they've done with the troops, because it's not like a shotgun blast. It's just a handful at a time. So they really, you know, make sure everybody gets the attention and all that they need. So,
it's the
graduation rate and getting the men and women out there is unbelievable with what they've done.
Can you guys stick around for a few more minutes?
Sure.
Well, we need to check traffic one more time. Special guests in the Next Title studio with us, Todd Clark, who is the writer and also draws Lola, the comic strip, and Steve Moore, who is responsible for the comic strip In the Bleachers. What's going on with you guys? Steve, now you also are a filmmaker, and you do things of that nature. What have you been up to lately in that?
Well, I kind of branched out a little bit. I'm doing a series of middle grade books. Mm-hmm. It's called King of the Bench, and it's four books. The second one just came out. I'll have two more coming out next year.
I just flash back to the age of 13.
When you said King of the Bench. That's what it is. It's a novels with cartoons. So it's right up my alley because I don't have to be too good of a writer. So I can use small words.
There we go. I like that.
But movie-wise, I'm working concepts right now, so nothing in production.
Okay. Todd?
I did a middle grade book a couple years ago called The Ice Cream Kid, and it was a series like Steve's. My series stopped at one. But, it was about a fourth grade kid who, when he would get brain freezes from ice cream, he'd get temporary superpowers, and each ice cream gave him a different one. So
how great would that be if that were true?
Yeah, it's still kind of being
is that
bandied around
TV or movie
talking with the movie people about that right now. So so it still has life, and I'll draw you that if you want to on Friday night.
<That's> right. Now, a lot of people, I'm sure, have seen the movie Open Season. And that originally started out with ideas from In the Bleachers, right?
Right. Yeah, it was a spinoff of, I do a lot of hunting and fishing cartoons. Mm-hmm. I don't hunt, but I do a lot of fishing. But I love the animal versus human thing where the animals usually win.
Yeah.
You know, so that was our pitch when we took it in, was the animals turning the table on hunters, and which is what I do in the cartoon all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know there are certain people who probably weren't in favor of that, but none of them were animals.
You know what? A funny story. It went with Sony Pictures Animation, and we were probably a year and a half into production, and someone from up above in the hierarchy said, you know, I'm not really comfortable with showing any guns in this movie.
Which is about hunting.
Which is about hunting. So,
yeah.
Well, we all scratched our head.
We'll just throw rocks at them
into the first one. Yeah.
They knew people had seen Bambi, though, right?
So right. It was, yeah. Right, yeah.
Okay, so.
We don't want any fire in Bambi. No. Mm-hmm. None. All right, let's go over again what you got coming up and for a mere $50, the first 144 attendees can have all of you guys.
We'll be drawing our hands off.
Yeah, and that's like that. At Big Al's October 6th on Friday, the Guardian Ball. I think there's still tickets for that. It's the Saturday night after that. We'll all be there drawing again as well. And the Wycan people told me one of the best ways at least to find tickets for the Big Al's thing is if you go to the Wycan Foundation, WYAKIN Facebook page, you can find a link with the Cartoonists Invade Boise and get tickets. And I'm sure if you just got a hold of Wycan, somebody would direct you in the right way as well. So,
you know, I almost forgot we have a few little stories here about the Wycan, actually the Wycan Warriors.
Yeah.
And this is James, I think it's James Reimers. And he, of course, 6 years of service, and he was wounded in Iraq. He was deployed to Baghdad, and he is now working toward a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering. So definitely, I would say, a success story there. Mm-hmm. And then Stephen Wood II also was deployed 3 times to Iraq, and he's getting his bachelor's degree in multidisciplinary studies, a minor in nonprofit management, and a certificate in leadership and human relations. And then Tommy Montgomery, he was in South Korea, and he was in a warrior transition battalion at Tripler Medical and working toward a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering as well. So, and one other here, Matt, I think it's Thorison, and he was in Iraq. He had tours in Iraq and Kuwait, and he... Is still, I think, doing quite a few things with the Marine Corps, and is also getting education as well. So these guys really, and I liked what you said, the way you introduced it, is a lot of them had planned to be career military,
right.
And then after they were wounded or disabled, that's just gone. What do I do now?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and that's where Wycan picks it up and runs with it with them, and a lot of it is just helping them find what they want to do and then get it going on that.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time on KBOI this morning, and thank you for what you do for the Wycan Foundation. And we will definitely see you at the benefits, and we appreciate you coming in.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us in. Appreciate it.
KBOI News Time, 8:56. Idaho Talks Live after news at the top of the hour.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
And here we are again.
Looking at these pictures of Puerto Rico.
Oh, wow.
My goodness. There's not a leaf. Somebody said this the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm backing it up, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not a leaf on a tree in that whole island.
Well, and that was the same thing that happened to Barbuda, that island. There's a country called Antigua and Barbuda, and basically it's just Antigua now because everybody had to move to Antigua from Barbuda.
Mm-hmm.
But... it stripped the grass and the trees and the bushes and everything off, and it's just kind of a rock sitting out there in the ocean now.
And it really, it's not attractive. It that's a stupid statement, but
well, yeah, I mean,
wow, it's going to take months and months and months and months.
Yeah,
you see this sometimes in tornadoes, Go by.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing left.
Well, that's like, Debbie's originally from Oklahoma. And, when she was a little kid, basically, well,
yeah.
let's put it this way. They didn't have nuclear bomb drills, where you get under your desk. They had tornado drills where you had to figure out, and most of the schools had basements in different places. Where
we actually had those, too.
Oh, is that right?
And all the houses had basements, all the public buildings.
In Illinois?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so when I came out, this is a true story. When I came out to Idaho, I was 13, maybe 12.
Mm-hmm.
I thought potato sellers, you know, the kind they have
right
everywhere in south central Idaho.
Yeah, you saw those lumps out in the field.
Yeah, I thought potato sellers were where you went when the tornadoes came.
Right.
Because that's the kind of stuff they had in Illinois. It was amazing.
Yeah.
People laughed at me.
Well, and again, we were talking about this the last couple of weeks, you know, when all the hurricanes were hitting, that there are some things when you live in Idaho that you don't have. If you really like big cities, there are some things like, you know, if you really like the Major League Baseball or NFL or NBA or whatever, and we don't have necessarily that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have obviously a reasonable facsimile, but there a lot of the things that you can get in Los Angeles, New York, and stuff like that, you're not going to find in Idaho. However, there aren't a large number of natural disasters here, with the exception, I guess, of wildfires. But like, for instance,
I like what you say about wildfires.
Well, I live in the middle of town, and they don't come see me, so. But, I mean, I feel always, you know, feel very badly for the neighborhoods and the different houses and people and buildings and things that are affected by the wildfires and forest fires, and especially outside Boise, where it's considerably more rural, especially north of here.
Yeah.
And, I don't like that sort of thing. I feel as badly for those people as I would for somebody hit by a tornado or a hurricane, because essentially it doesn't matter where you live. If you lose everything you've got,
you've lost everything you've got.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't really need to explain it more than that.
Yep. All right. President Trump, big defeat earlier this week with the health care. His tax plan is the remaining.
He thinks of it as just a temporary defeat.
Well, you have to.
Yeah. And he says, you know, the Obamacare still will be repealed. But apparently it's going to be, you know, kicked on down the road just a little bit longer. And I think he thinks of these things in terms of maybe weeks or a few months or something. But they're going to go after taxes for a while. And I guess let people work on Obamacare behind the scenes and try to figure out what to do there.
Yeah. All right. The White House and congressional Republicans, as you said, busy finalizing a tax plan that would slash the corporate rate while reducing the levy for the wealthiest Americans.
This is not terribly popular with people who aren't wealthy, but you'd be surprised how much the wealthy people like it.
Yeah, and my story just went.
Wow.
Adios, amigos. The plan cuts the top corporate tax rate dramatically, creates a new top rate for small businesses that is lower than the top rate for individuals.
I've always been in favor of cutting taxes for businesses and doing that actually first, simply because, you know, people, if you have more money to put into a business, business is better, and it's better generally, you know, all around the country, if
True.
That's the case. There are some individuals like, well, you know, billionaires, for instance, and people of that nature that probably could be paying a more personal tax, but they don't necessarily have to, because a lot of times they park money in the business without, you know, necessarily, they have ways of doing it. There are lots of legal ways, and that's why they have so many accountants and lawyers.
Funny how smart you get when you have accountants and lawyers.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Working poor people could owe no income tax. Filing a return could get much simpler. Okay. There would even be a new credit for caring for elderly relatives.
That's cool.
Well, yeah, I got to start thinking about that kind of stuff. Under a tax framework being proposed by President Trump and Republican leaders in Congress.
Uh-huh.
The plan cuts the top corporate tax rate dramatically and creates a new top rate for small businesses.
Yeah.
It also eliminates two taxes paid entirely by the rich, while taking away a deduction for state and local taxes that is used most heavily in some of the most wealthy
and
Democrat-dominated states.
And again, those are the ones that seem to get the most flack. is when they say, okay, we're going to cut taxes, but also we're cutting taxes for the rich people. It's probably only fair to cut taxes for everyone in some way. But, you know, there are plenty of people who feel like, you know, cause like I said, I mean, if you've got the right accountants and lawyers and stuff, you can have been paying 7% tax for years.
Yes.
You know, instead of like 35% and more like some of us are paying. And there are some, probably some inequities in the system, but I don't think that unless you change a whole lot of different rules, that that's ever going to change. Because if you can afford to try to work the system, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Be interesting. Are they going to get anything done, do you think?
They could. I mean, it would be nice if this Congress would cooperate in some way. The only problem with cooperation is there's give and take, and nobody wants to give right now. I mean, nobody wants to give an inch. They all say, okay, we've got to have it this way. And the other side says, we've got to have it this way. And, you know, never the twain shall meet. So you either defeat the other side and do what you want, or you get nothing done. And so far, they've been doing a lot of getting nothing done.
Yeah. Liberal groups are decrying a giveaway to those at the top. Trump is selling the plan as a boost for working families,
yeah,
starting with a rally in Indiana this afternoon. Interest groups are gearing up ads to sell the plan on TV, especially in districts where key senators and House members live.
And we always talk about this, too, that some of what they consider to be tax breaks or tax cuts are actually, in reality, simply a reduction in how fast the tax increases. Which, you know, Washington refers to that as a tax cut because tax cut sounds better.
Yeah. We'll talk brackets and percentages when we come back. KBOI News Time, 9:15.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
I'm liking this.
These are always the ones that you hear and you think to yourself, I could play this.
And then you can't.
You know, it's like that song Cherish by the Association.
Yeah.
Like, most of the first verse is all just one note.
Cherish is a word I use to describe.
And they go up, you know, at that point.
Yeah, and you can't hit the one note.
Yeah.
KBOI News Time is 9:22. KBOI Rewards Code Cartoon. C-A-R-T-O-O-N, Cartoon. Go to 670KBOI.com. Enter Cartoon, earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Yeah, I wanted to say thank you one more time to the two cartoonists who came in today, Todd Clark.
Have you ever known a cartoonist who wasn't just cool?
No, I haven't.
They are cool people.
I was talking about that to Todd a little bit ago, and I said, you know, just you talk
Todd,
to cartoonists.
Todd, you're cool.
And well, and Todd Clark, one of the things that he does, he, you know, he writes jokes and stuff and gags for other comic strips. You know, and you'd think, you'd go, no, man, I can't do that. I'll run out of ideas. I have to save them for myself. I don't think he runs out of ideas.
No, he doesn't. He put us in Lola once.
Yeah.
I don't know, 5 years ago,
something like that, yeah.
And that thing hung up in the kitchen forever.
Oh, yeah.
That was so...
Well, I still have a copy
of
it.
It was cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. Lola, in the comic strip, she was listening to the radio, and she decided to call in. You know, it was our show. And she called in and she says, morning, Paul J. Morning, Chris. And I was like, hey, we're world famous now.
Yep. all right. Back to the taxes, which next thing up for president. And our president has been struggling. Health care went bye-bye. He's had his struggles.
He hasn't had any really like clear victories lately.
No.
But small business owners, large corporations, and the extremely wealthy billionaires, for instance, could fare well under the president's tax plan. As you said, the middle class could come out ahead, too. But the plan has, and this is kind of an opinion a little bit, but the plan has too many holes to determine how individual taxpayers would be affected. It would reduce the number of tax brackets from 7 to 3. 12%, 25%, and 35%. that's starting to sound good if you are the person who has to pay taxes. Yeah.
So let's look at that a little teeny bit here.
Okay.
Range from 10% to 39.6 would be replaced by, as you said, 12%, 25%, 35%.
Right.
So at a minimum, those making the most would see a 4.6% cut.
Yeah.
Or $46,000 on a $1 million income.
Yeah, which doesn't it doesn't seem like a lot. I mean, you spread it over a you know, the entire country, and it's quite
I'd like to have the $1 million.
And it's quite a bit of money. Those are, you know, those are important details. Like, it doesn't really specify the income levels for each bracket yet. And, of course, those are very important details, and they'll be sorted out by Congress eventually. The president is scheduled to unveil his tax plan today at an event in Indiana. The plan was outlined by senior administration officials who asked for anonymity because they were not authorized to be quoted on the details of the framework ahead of the president's remarks.
Well, they got to let some of this out,
I got a question. Here's a question I've had for a long time.
Yeah.
People who remain anonymous because they're not supposed to be talking about something, why are they talking about it?
I don't know.
I don't think I'd like to go around in my whole life saying, okay, you didn't hear this from me.
Just listen to this one sentence.
Because the next day people forget that you said that and they just say, hey, guess what Chris told me?
Yeah, just listen to this one sentence.
All right.
The proposed bottom rate of 12% is higher than the 10% White House said it would be seeking in a one-page list of goals.
Uh-huh.
However, people paying 10% may not pay anything under the new tax. Well, what's it going to be? 10%, 12%, or nothing?
Well, nothing sounds good, but I think you have to be... you know, fairly destitute in order to qualify for that.
Yeah. 926.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
Talking about President Trump's possible
tax plan,
tax code plan,
scheduled
reform.
To unveil that in an event in Indiana today.
Plan calls for increasing child care tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, $1,000 a child. Now, the increase would depend on the parent's income. It would also remove a marriage penalty that allows two single parents making up to $75,000 each, or $150,000 combined, to get the full credit, but begins to shrink the credit for married couples when their incomes exceed $110,000.
Okay.
We worried about it.
Like each?
Yeah.
I'm not, personally.
A new credit of $500 would also be created for non-child dependents, such as an elderly relative.
Mm-hmm. The plan has more, let's put it this way, the plan has more winners than it does losers. But part of that is because he's kind of leaving it up to Congress to fill in the details at this point.
Yeah, the blanks.
One of which would be, how do we pay for this?
One thing here, non-child dependent, such as an elderly relative,
mm-hmm.
which I kind of have.
Mm-hmm.
We pay, but we don't. It's really hard to.
I understand.
Yeah, you understand.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, because I know, you know, what's going on.
But yeah, but
you don't provide like nursing care and stuff like that.
No.
But you do kind of provide.
That would be taken care of.
Some sustenance and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah,
rent and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's no mention of a Sepato Paul J. Whatever.
Well, okay. You're not mentioned by name. I mean, you're probably, do you consider yourself middle class? The middle class could very well be helped by this. Corporations would, as you said.
I guess I am. I don't know.
Because the plan would lower the top corporate income rate from 35% to 20%. And, you know, if the money goes back into the corporation, which I would be hopeful of, then this creates opportunities, jobs, you know, business and whatnot. Business owners who report business income on their individual tax returns, it helps them, which is the majority of American businesses anyway, from small, you know, businesses to partnerships. The top tax rate for those taxpayers, as you pointed out, is 39.6%, and the president's plan would lower that to 25%. The super rich would benefit, and this is I think why most of the Democrats do not like it. Trump's plan would eliminate the federal estate tax. Under current law, the first $11 million of an estate is exempt for a married couple, meaning only the wealthiest Americans pay it.
First $11
million? Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and I mean,
I'll remember that.
Yeah, I mean, the first $11 million, right.
Second $11 million.
Yeah, the second $11 million. I mean, well, once you've got the $11 million, you're doing fine. U.S.-based international corporations would benefit. It would end the U.S. practice of taxing the foreign profits of U.S.-based corporations. Under current law, the money is taxed if it is brought back to the United States. And the middle class might be helped because the plan would increase, as you said, the standard deduction to $12,000 for individuals and $24,000 for a married couple. And I'm all for increasing the standard deduction, presumably eliminating the personal exemption. Under current law, the personal exemption is $4,050, and the standard deduction is $6,300 for a total of $10,350. $24,000 is better.
Yeah. Popular deductions for mortgage interest and charitable contributions would continue.
Yeah.
Like the current system that requires a choice. Those expenses would only be deductible if they exceed the increased standard deduction amounts.
Okay, now things
which are listed elsewhere.
Things that probably wouldn't do well, that the national debt itself, and this is not the budget deficit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the actual national debt. The plan does not include enough details to precisely project its impact on the nation's or the government's, on the national government's finances. But the rate cuts for businesses and individuals, as rate cuts do, would probably add to the nation's debt.
Yeah.
One would have to assume, because not as much money would be coming in. On the other hand, you really hope that if you give people tax breaks that it gets the economy going. You know, and
yes,
it would have to go in kind of a whirlwind. Administration officials have said the plan would not add to the debt when economic growth is taken into account. And there you go. That's what we need. However, there are some economists, and I have to point this out, first of all, that I've known economists who had virtually the exact same education as each other and came up with completely different results. And
depending on motivation.
Yeah. And I think back to, like, you know, John Kenneth Galbraith and guys like that back in the 70s. And, you know, who they would come out saying, okay, the conservative plan is good. And then others would say, no, the liberal plan is good. Yeah. Many experts say the administration's projections for economic growth are unrealistic, but we don't know that for sure. Again, Milton Friedman, I guess, was the other one. Like, John Kenneth Galbraith and Milton Friedman back in the 70s, they used to have the same stats and they'd come out with completely different outcomes.
And people like you and I who have had little or no training.
We're not economists.
Yeah,
and financiers.
Yeah. We're just kind of
we're more radio annonceurs.
Okay, Jeff Sessions yesterday lumped the Boise State with schools that protect fragile egos. We're going to tell you how he came up with that after
he's so popular.
This commercial is a cartoon character. It's 9:44. Well, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions not making any friends of Boise State. Yesterday said several universities across the country, including Boise State, are infringing on free speech in an attempt to avoid controversy. Sessions called out BSU by naming them during a speech. at Georgetown Law School's Center for the Constitution. This according to the Washington Post. He pointed out a portion of the school's student code of conduct that prohibits that a reasonable person would find offensive. Sessions also...
Well, that's open for interpretation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really. How about this? No, can't do that. Okay, what about this?
Yeah. How about if I put my hat on like this? Sessions also called out the code of conduct at Clemson University, which prohibits acts that create an offensive environment.
Yeah.
So, and we've talked about this from time to time. Do you have the right to not be offended?
Probably not.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, and there are certain people who are offended by everything.
Yep.
And I know them because a lot of them are my Facebook friends.
Yeah, exactly.
As it turns out. Just thought I'd put that out there. Just a few people. But I don't know. What they're trying to avoid are things like Nazis,
mm-hmm.
you know, coming onto the campus and using racial slurs and picking out particular groups of people, whatever group you might fit into, and then telling everybody that those groups need to be removed from the earth, possibly.
Yeah.
Or at least from this part of the earth. And they want to avoid stuff like that, but they make the rules so vague that, don't do anything offensive. Okay, and how will I know?
Yeah, what's offensive?
Ahead of time, how will I know unless I have a list?
Yeah. Let's go to
basically be polite is what we should say. Be polite.
Yeah, which some people like, which most people like.
I think so.
Let's go to pro-life.
Well, hey, the real problem is this. When you have a public institution like a university, then you have the lowest common denominator of legal and culture. And so when you say you're going to have something that's not offensive, well, you can't even define that. And so really education should all be on a private public or a private or religious kind of basis. Then you can make the rules and it makes all sense.
Well, what would be like inexpensive, for instance? Would education have to be based on whether or not you can afford to get it?
No, education shouldn't be based on whether it's expensive or whatever. I mean, a person can educate themselves, but then they can't have a degree, so then they can't maybe go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, an educated person is an educated person regardless of where they got their education.
Yeah.
And
they could be a jobless educated person.
Yeah. But a person with good sense and good culture and faith in God, you don't get that from some institution. You might get a degree from an institution, but that doesn't qualify you to be, to have character.
From a state-run institution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's communist education. Marx and Engels in 1848, when they wrote the Communist Manifesto, they had 10 summary points. The 10th point is, quote, free education for all children in public schools. And that means universities, too. So that's where we went wrong. We, as the Western world, we adopted Marxism in that regard.
Hmm. Interesting thought.
Well, God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
However, you do benefit, I think, from a more educated populace.
That has always been your reason.
Yeah, I know. That I don't think can be ignored.
No.
And the poorest of the poor under our current system do also have a right to an education. And the reason it's compulsory, the reason why you are supposed to put your children into some sort of school, I mean, it can be homeschooling, mm-hmm. but you are supposed to indicate that you are doing some sort of education, is simply so there won't be people who grew up without any chance whatsoever to have an education.
Right.
And what public schools are guaranteed to provide you is at least the minimum. Now, with any luck, hopefully, or with just any sense, you should be able to educate yourself more in your daily life. Your parents should be able to educate you more, your family. That's what libraries are for, all that sort of thing.
Boy, and it works if you work on yourself.
Yeah. And you can get a tremendous education out of any school if you apply yourself in certain ways.
No question. All right, it's 9:55. You can hear the music. We're out of here. We've received our Emmy. They're playing us off the stage.
And well, they should.
Yes, well, they should.
Tomorrow, we'll be back.